wake on up. Wake up, wake up, wake
up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the Morning Roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Devin Lloyd is having a superstar type game. He knocked the ball loose, and Jacksonville has its fourth takeaway of the day. Foyashani Aluakin comes out of the pack.
And guess who made contact? The former San Francisco 49er who spent his first 9 years in the Bay Area before playing for the Jaguars. Eric Armstead getting the love from his second-year teammates. And he strikes in the Bay Area for the opposing team this time.
I'm so upset!
You should be, Niner fans. You should be upset. Adam Amin on the call, Fox Sports. 26-21 the final. The 49ers suffered their first loss of the season to fall to 3-1. 1-1 at home now. As the 49ers give it away. Give it away. Give it away now. Not one, two, three, but four times. As I say good morning to you, Joe, Carter, Sam, all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for the week. It was an ugly loss. We're going to talk about every single aspect of it. The quarterback, not good enough. The running back, not good enough. Your left tackle that's going to Hall of Fame, not good enough. The defense late, not good enough. That was about as frustrating a loss I have seen by the 49ers in quite some time. And they had a lot of them last year. And you know, I don't want to really give too much credit to the Jaguars, but you have to, even though they tried to kick that game away not one, two, three, but like four other times. I mean, Trevor Lawrence sliding in bounds. That was not a buttoned-up Jaguars performance. They had, what, 10, 11 penalties for 100-plus yards? And yet, Travis Etienne just gashing you left and right. Trevor Lawrence, yeah, you look at the stat line, you saw the game. It wasn't like he was amazing. He didn't look like he was Mahomes or Josh Allen or anything like that. But in a game where they had 11-plus penalties, they were still the more buttoned-up team, Joe. At that, I am left scratching my head after that performance yesterday. Brock Purdy, he looked like he was compromised. Let's start there. The quarterback wasn't good enough. 309 passing yards, two touchdowns, two picks, the lost fumble there. And what do you know? You heard it on the call. Old 49er Eric Armstead causing it. It's just when it rains, it pours sometimes. And yesterday, that's what happened.
So you're looking at so many different elements of this team right now that just look... They look like they're not their old versions. Trent Williams looks so old and so slow. And this is not a one-off. He looked bad last year. He's looked bad to start this year. I charted, you know, did they run left? Did they run right? You know, there was a couple of good runs that were right up the middle. And right now, factually, Colton McKivitz and Dominic Pooney, the right side, they are running better to that side. This team cannot run the ball. This is a Shanahan offense that is predicated on the run. McCaffrey, for whatever reasons, cannot get going. He averaged under 3 yards a carry yesterday, and it was uglier than it looked. He had a couple of decent runs to the right side, McKivitz and Pooney's side, but anything to the left was getting blown up. And specifically late third, early fourth quarter, when they needed to salvage and get some yards and get the defense off the field, they could ill afford to be able to take a loss, and they did over and over and over again. You know, the sequence where they didn't kick the field goal, they tried to run left on third and three and got blown up. I just, right now, Christian McCaffrey looks closer to Danny Woodhead in the passing game than he looks like Saquon Barkley as a complete back. And that's a tough thing to swallow. He certainly doesn't look like a $19 million a year player. Brock Purdy, should he have even played yesterday? From the first drive on, I said, yeah, he looks ginger. He's not planting into that foot. Now, there was a couple of really nice throws in this game. But outside of about four or five passes, I charted all of them. He was short. He was long. He was left. He was right. The ball placement was all over the map yesterday. It led to multiple deflections. It led to interceptions. It led to five separate medicine balls that were out there getting guys hurt yesterday. Now, that's part of the game. It's going to happen. Even the great ones get a guy depleted at times. But Brock did not look like himself. He looked rusty, and he looked compromised physically, and he couldn't move like he used to. And if he's going to sit in that pocket, all right, and try to deliver the ball, he's too short to do that. Some guys can, who are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". Yesterday was a clear example. When he doesn't have his legs, he is a shell of himself as a player. Now, I know he threw for 300 yards, all right? I thought it was a byproduct of some unbelievable play calling by Kyle Shanahan. I know Kyle's going to get a lot of criticism here. Part of the reason why they lost this game, they couldn't stop the run, and special teams once again rearing its ugly head. This team wanted to throw that game away 7 different times yesterday. And then Jacksonville was like, no. We would like to hand you this game, actually. It's 3rd and 1. It's 4th and 1. We're not going to get lined up. Let's take a delay of game. Hey, let's put the ball on the ground. Let's throw the ball. Let's stare down multiple receivers, and let's throw right into D. Winters' hands. Let's throw right into Fred Warner's hands. You know, for as many mistakes as the Niners made, the Jaguars made equal amounts of mistakes yesterday. And it just felt like the Niners could not capitalize at all. Look, if Ricky Pearsall is going to be your most explosive player on offense, you're in trouble, because right now he's hurt. Yeah. If Christian McCaffrey on a lateral play, if that's going to be his most explosive play of the season, for the most part, we're in some big, big trouble.
I thought cooler heads prevailed yesterday in favor of the Jaguars. The 49ers played that entire 4 quarters. They just seemed like the more frustrated team. Whether it's Trent Williams getting into it on the sideline with the Jaguars after McCaffrey gets stuffed on a 4th quarter, 3rd and 3 there. Whether it's, your defensive coordinator going at the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars after the game. I don't know who went at who first, but they were yelling at each other, and we got the quotes. We got it all. We'll get to it. Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh not letting that sign-stealing stuff go away.
Can we just get into that?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, like, to the victory, or what is it? To the victor goes the spoils. I think is the saying.
Yes.
Like, when you lose, put your head down, go over, shake hands.
Take the L is what we like to say.
Like, be a man. You know, you want to talk this talk at the podium and be all bravado. You called the guy out. And yeah, I thought your defense actually played better than maybe the numbers look in terms of giving up points. But guys, they couldn't get a stop when they needed it. They got a couple of big stops. But how many long, sustained drives where key, crucial third downs were converted? I thought one of the drives of the game was early in this one when they backed them up all the way. It's 7-3. And Trevor Lawrence starts at the 11, all right? That was a heck of a drive by them. They go 89 yards. They hang on to the ball for about 8 minutes, and they converted multiple big third downs. And the play of the game for me, it's a subtle play. It's subtle. I mean, we're going way deep into it. It wasn't a Purdy interception, a fumble. It's 2nd and 17. Kyle, we're not even sure if Kyle declined the penalty, accepted the penalty. I still don't understand what happened in that situation.
I'm pretty sure he accepted it and then just got cold feet, because then he realized, like, someone told him to accept it, and then he did it. And then he's like, wait, I don't want to accept this. I want the down. And that's what happened.
I think it was going to be 3rd and 12.
Correct.
Right? Instead, it goes to 2nd and 17. Now, it's not even about 2nd and 17. I thought it was Liam Cohen being brilliant with his usage, and this was an indicator of things they did all game. They run the ball, basically, with Travis Etienne on 2nd and 17, then go no huddle, control the tempo, don't allow you to get your substitutions or your third down package out on the field, and then they throw a ball to Travis Hunter, and I don't know whether he caught it or didn't catch it. I would have went with the call on the field, where they gave him a catch, they looked at it, they reviewed it, there was an injury, so we had even more time to look at it. I thought that was an indicator of everything that went wrong all day. The Jacksonville Jaguars had a game plan. They mixed and matched tempo, refusing to let the Niners get to specific substitution patterns. All day, they were committing pre-snap penalties, Jacksonville was. But on this one, they go no huddle. They get the matchup they're looking for, the throw they're looking for, and it's a bobbled ball. A play can be made. The Niners don't knock the ball out of Travis Hunter's hands. Mm. He makes the catch. He retains it through the ground, and they go on, and they end up scoring. They also had a third and one where they couldn't get lined up. They have to take the five-yard delay a game. It's now third and six. The clock is winding down again, Jacksonville. Yeah. They have to burn a timeout. And then the Niners get pretty decent rush. Trevor steps up in the pocket, looks around, and converts on third down. And they end up getting a touchdown on that play, on that little pass to Long, a nice little pass by Trevor Lawrence. Trevor was worse and worse and worse as they got farther away from the script, and yet they still look better than you.
I didn't come away from that game thinking that Trevor Lawrence was this amazing player. That I keep waiting for him to like show me that he's the number one and first overall pick.
Closer to Alex Smith than he is Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or any of those.
He's an accident waiting to happen, quite frankly. That's how I watch Trevor Lawrence games. He's an accident waiting to happen. And Brock Purdy, you know, it's funny we were talking about Trevor Lawrence that way because you referenced this. I referenced it. It looked all like Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. Like I was having flashbacks of the medicine balls, of the indecisiveness, throwing too high, missing too high, that throw to McCaffrey. You know, people want to say, hey, CMC's got to catch that. He gets his hands on it. That's a running back trying to extend. Like, I know we like to think, and I've said it, hey, if Christian McCaffrey wanted to be a slot receiver full time, he'd be really good at it. But the fact is, he's a running back. Like, you don't want your running back, your high-paid running back, extended like that in triple coverage, by the way.
Joe, he, right now, he's not an effective running back.
No.
And there's a variety of things. I don't think he's breaking tackles. I don't see a lot of bursts. But I also don't see a lot of holes for him being opened up by the offensive line. So right now, no, he is not a complete running back. Right now, he is a pass-catching threat only.
And let's call it what it is. We're about a quarter of the way through the season. The guy's lost a step. Like, we can say it now. No, Christian McCaffrey, it's clear
he
now.
He looks better than 2024, but he's nowhere near 2023.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes, correct. And from that, because last year we were all kind of saying, oh, maybe it's a mulligan, maybe it's a mulligan. No. The guy's lost a step. Well, not to say he's a scrub. No one's saying that. But when you lost a step with an offensive line that can't create holes in you, and if they do create holes, it's a finite little window that you have to have that burst, that acceleration. He just doesn't have that right now, Joe.
Joe, you bring up Jimmy Garoppolo, and it was a bad Brock performance. There's no other way around it, guys. Like, his ball placement was awful. I didn't think he had confidence. I thought that he was rusty. I thought that he was compromised physically. And then I go back to the head coach. I lost my mind in preseason because of Carter Bradley. We're out here giving Carter Bradley reps when it's your team that has gotten more quarterbacks injured over the last 6 or 7 years than any team in the NFL. You have gone through the quarterback gauntlet physically with the Kyle Shanahan era more than any other team outside of what? The Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
All right.
They have that jersey
with
30 games.
That's not good company. So when you goof around and you give a kid an opportunity because of nepotism, let's call it what it is, you gave Carter Bradley an opportunity as your third string, then you roll into the regular season and you have to acquire Adrian Martinez to be your number three, all right? And then Mac Jones has to go in for an injured Brock Purdy. And then Mac Jones gets hurt, not once, but twice in the same season. And then you suit up Brock Purdy prematurely because Mac is probably more injured because you're afraid of playing the third string quarterback. Maybe you shouldn't have given Carter Bradley this nepotism run in the preseason when everyone knew he's not even close to a practice squad player, let alone an NFL backup. And then you're so deathly afraid of having him play on a Sunday when you know the Rams are coming on a Thursday. You go out there and you compromise your $150 million quarterback. And I'm just going to call it what it is. I would be shocked if Brock Purdy doesn't land on the IR at some point this season.
888-957-9570. I want to hear from all the Niner fans today. First loss of the season. Where do your frustrations lie the most after yesterday's debacle at Levi Stadium? 888-957-9570.
This is why that game, I'm so fired up.
Yeah, I know
this
you
is
are.
Why that game was so big. Because you knew the Rams were coming on a Thursday. And I, to me, like, oh, you got to win the Jags game on the front end. And like, I understand all that. But you putting him out there when he looked clearly compromised. And clearly his confidence was slightly rattled and he was rusty. All can be true. He played probably the worst football game he's played going back to the Baltimore Ravens game on Christmas. But it's now been a trend. He's turning the ball over a lot right now. And on that final play, he had 3.5 seconds to get rid of the ball. All right? Yes, the offensive line has not given a lot of room for this team in terms of running room. Like, they haven't. Actually, pass blocking, they've been okay. Like, they really have. They've been okay. Brock is not a stand in the pocket and sling it and stand tall over the lineman type of a quarterback. And yesterday, he looked compromised. So I pivot back to the coach and I say to myself, I understand you wanted to get a win on the front end of this two-game stretch going Jacksonville versus the Rams. Now what kind of rest are you giving Brock Purdy for Thursday? Is Mac even available? I searched high and low yesterday online. Did Mac even suit up? Did anyone see Mac Jones in a uniform yesterday with a helmet on? Anyone? Anyone? Did anyone notice it?
Carter, you were at the game. You didn't see him?
No, I did not see him.
If it didn't cross your mind to put Mac Jones out there, even if he's compromised, I don't know what you were watching. I legitimately don't know what you were watching. Purdy had about four or five really nice throws. Both red zone touchdowns were on beautifully designed plays by Kyle. So I'm frustrated with Kyle in terms of the personnel decision to play Brock Purdy. I want more context. Simultaneously, I actually thought his play calling wasn't bad at all, considering they're throwing to Kendrick Bourne, who can't catch a cold out there. On third down, Brock's probably his best throw of the day, where he doesn't lean into it. He's afraid of getting hit. He fires one on third and whatever, 10, third and 11, over the middle. He is wide open. Kendrick Bourne is wide open. And Skillet Hands drops the ball in the middle of the field. Hey, Kendrick Bourne, great for the vibes around the campfire, but Skillet Hands, I need you to catch that pass the very next play. A punt, untouched touchdown. Untouched, where Morstead is running. He looks like he's from the 1970s with that helmet on. Is running, and he's the only guy giving me any effort on that play. You got Isaac Garendo on punt coverage and kick coverage. Isaac Garendo sucks. Brent Boyer, you stink. We brought in a whole new special teams guy. You stink. Stink.
Jake Ton just looked good. That was about it.
He's the only guy out there gutting it out.
He's the only one that showed
and
up.
While I'm here, you know, Trent Williams held out year Yikes. After year after year after year. Where's my refund, Trent?
Mm.
Where's my refund as a fan? Where you're whiffing on multiple huge blocks out here doing nothing. Hey, but make sure you win the fight near the sideline after you didn't block a soul. Trent Williams, number one. Yep. Trent Williams. Trent very, always
very
here.
Hey,
if the team's down three or four scores, Trent will get in a fight and get kicked out. Where's Trent when I need him on a crucial third and three? Whiffing on blocks? When you hold out the way that he did the last couple of years, and then you show up and you look completely washed? I don't want to hear a thing when you're getting your butt whipped by Josh Hines-Allen. Trent Williams.
I want to hear from all the
what
fans
does he
today.
Think he is?
888-957-9570.
Mercenary.
We are streaming on YouTube, by
you
the
guys
way.
You guys should keep him in. We got Bob St. Clair, who wore a Niner uniform. And you
Bobby.
Bob St. Clair broke his nose, his beak, to get into the Hall of Fame with no face mask. San Francisco legend. And you guys, Trent Williams, the greatest offensive lineman in 49er history. How dare you disrespect Bob St. Clair? With Trent, I'm here for the money, Williams. Party on a boat the last 3 years. Has he showed up? He played in 10 games last year.
I'm on a boat.
Took 11 IVs in 10 games, and you guys are out here. He's the greatest left tackle ever. No, he's the greatest mercenary ever, squeezing us for every single dime. And you guys, the Joe Staley, Bob St. Clair, Harris Barton, and you got the audacity to compare Trent Williams. He might be an unbelievable player. He's a front runner. Trent Williams. Hey, but if you want to get in a fight, down two scores when I whiff the block, Trent Williams is first in line. Give me a break. Give me a break.
We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco, and our guests today are the people. Hit us up, call or text, and we are streaming on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a lower auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. A lot has taken place in the Bay this weekend, all right? Niners taking L. We're taking your calls about that and text all day long. 3-1, short week, heading down to SoFi Stadium against the Rams. Joe, there's also a lot going on with the Golden State Warriors. Media Day is today. We know Jonathan Kuminga will not be there, but a lot happened in regards to all the other players that have been rumored to be Warriors. Gary Payton, D'Anthony Melton have committed to deals with the Dubs per Shams Charania. Our guy Al Horford, a multi-year deal with the Warriors. We got our guy Richard not Little Richard, Will Richard, to a four-year contract. The rookie, Alex Tui. Hawk Tui? There
Joe,
you go.
Joe, when I watched Trent Williams not practice against the Denver Broncos and yucking it up, what did I say to you? I turned to you, I was like, that's straight front runner right yeah. there. Oh, you can't get Trent hurt? Why? Why? He's fully healthy headed into the season. Does Trent look like Trent?
No.
Did Trent look like Trent last year?
No.
Hey, thank God he held out, though. Gotta get yours. Gotta get yours.
We're going to get ours here. It's the Morning Roast. It's Spadoni and Shasky. Shasky is fired up. I want to hear from all the fired up fans out there. The most frustrating aspect of that loss yesterday was what? We'll get into it on the other side. Plus, hey, the Super Bowl's ending at Levi Stadium. The Niners are still 3-1. Maybe they got a shot. We do know the halftime show. Maybe we'll have a rejoin of it on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Today's the Monday after, if you will.
Black Monday for the MLB.
All right. Ricky Pearsall's an absolute stud, okay? Like, the guy can play. I think we all could see. Like, he was compromised yesterday. He made one of the best catches I've seen in the last handful of years from a Niner receiver.
Back shoulder falling on his butt.
It was so
one-handed.
Sick.
It was incredible.
It was so sick. And he made a couple other really nice plays earlier in that game. And he's, right now, he is the most explosive 49er. I don't think that's even hyperbolic at all. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So
no argument for me there.
When Brock threw one a little, it was a little beyond the out of bounds, and he tries to like dead leg and get that back foot in, and he falls down and he bangs the knee and he lies there. We were all thinking the same thing. Oh my God, this team can ill afford to lose Ricky Pearsall right now. And he goes into the blue tent. All right. And you see he's working on the side on the machine. Then they say during the broadcast, this is like the saddest part. Yeah, the blue tent was so packed with people. Juwan Jennings tried to go into the blue tent, but there were too many people in there. I'm like, what?
Like an exclusive club that he wasn't invited to? And the bouncer, actually, Juwan, you got to back up. He's got the clipboard and everything.
No wonder Levi Stadium can't have shade. We have to like spend all of our money on a bigger blue tent? It's honest to God.
San Francisco blue tents?
It's honest to God. It is baffling how many hospital balls were thrown yesterday, just all over the field. And look, it is part of the game. Your quarterback's not going to be perfect. Sometimes he's going to make a pass that throws you into traffic. It's going to happen. DeMarcus Robinson, Jake Tonjes, Luke Farrell, Kyle Juszczyk, Christian McCaffrey, Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne, and Ricky Pearsall all had medicine balls thrown their way.
Yeah.
And either got alligator arms or got popped because of it.
888-957-9570. We're continuing to take your calls and texts this morning. Niners fall to 3-1. Couple days before a massive Thursday night football showdown against the rival Los Angeles Rams down at SoFi Stadium, Joe. And this is what you worried about, and this is what we were talking about leading up to last week. This is what cannot happen to Brock Purdy. He looks indecisive. He looks like he's getting pummeled. He did. The offensive line looks suspect. The running game has been non-existent. He looked unsure of himself. The foot is clearly bothering him. He had a scramble or two.
He had one scramble.
And it didn't even look like it. Still, he looked hesitant. He didn't look sure of himself. That is what could not happen coming out of this game. And the Rams, by the way, with a massive win yesterday against the Indianapolis Colts.
I don't know how they pulled that out.
Well, it's
2-2 Atwell, 80-yard play. Are you kidding me?
I know. I actually came away from that game more impressed with the Colts. I think they might be for real this year than the Rams.
I'm with you.
But it was a big win for the Rams and just something that, again, it feels like coming out of this game, if you just played within yourself and didn't force anything, and I kept coming back to this, and hindsight's always 20/20. What if they had started Mac instead? And I get it.
This is what I don't know. Was Mac more hurt than Purdy?
I know this. Mac doesn't have the scrambling ability already. So if he was even compromised from an athleticism standpoint, he could overcome that more than Purdy can, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because his game's not predicated on scrambling a bunch. Brock Purdy's is! That was a huge element that was lost yesterday, Joe.
Did you see the first play? They did a play action, and he's going to turn around, and he's going to throw back to the other side of the field. I believe it was to Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
On that first throw, I could see, okay, he's ginger. Mm. He's not stepping into his throw. And then the ball placement was behind Juice. Now, in the NFL, being accurate isn't about just making the catch. There was a play on third down you and I were watching in the green room before the show started where Trevor Lawrence on like a third and 11 hit Strange, the tight end, and it was just ever so behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he throws that ever so in front of him, they probably get the first down.
And Strange was pissed because he caught it. He's like, dude, if you threw that a little bit, just like a little couple inches in front. Sanchez, who I thought was great on the Fox broadcast yesterday, Mark Sanchez, said the same thing. He was very critical of both quarterbacks in this game, rightfully so.
As he should have been. And I thought there were a lot of pre-snap mistakes from both sides. And then, like, okay, great example. The Niners wasted a timeout. It was first and 10, 4 minutes into the third quarter, all right? 4 minutes into the third quarter, first and 10. And to avoid a delay a game, they burn a timeout. Now, the way I view timeouts, in the first half, you can blow them if you want to avoid getting a delay a game penalty. In the second half, timeouts are for one of two reasons. Number one, to stop the clock at the end of the game. Number two, to stop the clock to get a better look at a play that might be questionable or for a challenge because you will lose a timeout, something that you deem to be a game-changing type of play. Or number three, to give my defense a timeout situationally because I saw something strategically on the final drive of a game that I want to change. So to blow that timeout at that time, I knew it was going to come back and bite them later on in the game where obviously after 2 minutes they get the first down and they end up, you know, a couple of kneel downs, the game's over. As a fourth-year quarterback, take the five-yard delay a game. It's first and 15. You have an offensive-minded coach. I understand the offense isn't really humming right now, but the lesser of two evils is starting to drive first and 15. Now, if it was third and one and we're in a crucial spot on the field, I'll listen to burning the timeout situationally in the third quarter. But to blow that timeout then and there, I thought, forget injuries. Forget ball placement. Forget offensive line. Forget who's out there at wide receiver. I thought that was really stupid from the franchise quarterback.
888-957-9570 is the number. We got a super chat on YouTube, and you can watch and stream us there every single day. Danny D donated $2. We appreciate it, Danny D. Why hasn't Garendo received a carry yet? SMH. Well, with this offensive line, would it matter?
Because he's out on punt kick coverage, you know, whiffing.
Again, at this point, it wouldn't matter if Bo Jackson is behind there or, you know, whoever you want to put there, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders. If you're not going to get the lanes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I'm sorry. Like Christian McCaffrey, he could even beat McCaffrey of old, and some of these things might not even matter. 17 carries for him, 49 yards. He does look a step behind, but still, I come away from this game. Again, he's your number one receiver almost like at this point. Ricky Pearsall has been that guy, but McCaffrey's been right there with receptions, yardage, and again yesterday, six receptions for 92 yards.
And he put the ball on the ground.
Yes.
And they got lucky to get it back.
Would have been five turnovers right there.
I mean, like, the ball was on the ground way too much yesterday. And then let's get to Luke Farrell. I mean, you pay Luke Farrell. We all said the same thing, like, what? $20 million for Luke Farrell? And then you bring back Juice. I mean, that's a whole nother. I want you to chart how much he moves before the snap and then just whiffs. Just whiffs on a block. Like
you see him do the too small.
I don't get it.
He did the too small celly after he got a first down.
I don't get what they're doing. Right now, Jake Tonjes is your best pass catching threat out of the three fullbacks and tight ends.
He's been good.
No,
I like what I've seen from
Jake
Tonjes.
And he got hurt in this game and then came back and battled back. But Luke Farrell dropping that ball and fumbling that ball in that spot. Like, that was a momentum shifter. Huge momentum shifter.
And where did Luke Farrell come from?
Jacksonville.
There you go. And who looked good yesterday for Jacksonville? Their tight ends.
You know?
Whether it's Hunter Long or Brenton Strange.
And lost in all of this, like, Fred Warner. And this is why I get really angry at Trent Williams. Like, say what you want about Fred Warner in terms of, like, getting the extension. He got paid, too. Does anyone doubt how hard that guy plays? Does anyone doubt the care and the desire and the passion that guy plays with? Is he a front runner? Or is he just an absolute all-time gladiator who you want representing the organization at every single time? So, like, when people talk about, like, who are the great Niners of all time, like, I laugh. I laugh in people's faces when they try to compare Trent Williams to a Fred Warner, for example. It's not even close. Fred Warner now, all-time leading forced fumble guy in 49er history. Like, lost in that game.
Yeah.
Fred Warner making play after play. He almost intercepted like three different balls. Fred Warner, I will never question his desire or his passion or what he means to this organization.
I'm not going to
all-time Niner.
I'm not going to question the linebacking core because they've been playing with their hair on fire these last four games. And they've been stepping up in a big
time
way.
There was a bad play, though, before. So right before halftime, D. Winners had a big-time penalty. And I love D. Winners, but, like, that's all. Okay, the Niners.
He also had a huge undercut to prevent what would have been a first down late in that game.
The Niners score right before, like, 32 seconds left on the clock in the second quarter. Okay? They score a field goal. All right? It's frustrating. You march all the way down. You get a field goal. And then you give up a huge kickoff return. Brent Boyer, you give up a huge kickoff return. Then the first play, there's a penalty. You tack on 15 extra yards. You gave them a free field goal. Like, you legitimately gave them a free 54-yard field goal right before half. And you basically squandered yourself getting points by giving it to them. And then now they get the ball back. It's just not good.
I have a stat for you on the other side, Joe. That is going to be very sobering in regards to defense.
Where are Niner fans?
Oh, I got them on the line.
Where are they?
We're going to go to them on the other side.
Am I the only one?
888-957-9570. Call or text right now. The most frustrating aspect of that loss was what? 26-21 the final. The Jags moved to 3-1. 49ers are also 3-1, but a monster game now. You have to have a short-term memory. You got to flush this one. We're going to hear from the players. We're going to hear from the coaches. We're going to hear from everyone on the other side. But I got a stat that the 49ers did something yesterday that they haven't done in over a decade. A decade defensively.
Okay.
And it's not good, folks. It's not good. That's what's coming up. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. I had this tease. The 49ers did something yesterday they haven't done in over a decade, Joe.
What's that?
In the 49ers' first
game. Lose to the Jaguars?
No, actually, maybe. We did that last week. In the 49ers' first game without Nick Bosa, their defense had no sacks and no quarterback hits for the first time in a game since September 20th, 2015 against the Steelers.
That's the Jim Tom Sula year. Oh, no!
No sacks, no QB hits.
Aaron Lynch didn't get to the quarterback in that game? Someone looked that up.
And who had the game-winning play yesterday for the Jags on defense? Eric Armstead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Could have used him. Would have been nice. And I know that it didn't work out, and he had to move on from the guy, and he wasn't healthy there towards the latter part of his Niners career. But just it just adds salt in the wound when it's that guy that did it to you. Devin Lloyd looking like he's like the reincarnated.
Oh, Lloyd looked amazing.
He looked great.
Oh, he looked amazing.
Two picks and a fumble recovery.
Joe, that's the kind of
loss.
Did
you hear Mykel Williams' name once, by the way, in the broadcast? Did you guys see him on the field yesterday?
No.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
No.
Yikes.
Or Alfred Collins.
None. No one.
I know West didn't suit up because of the hand. They got a zero pass rush.
Davis had like a tackle for loss here, there, nothing. No pass rush. Trevor Lawrence, who, by the way, again, accident waiting to happen. You'd think he would have a better stat line yesterday than he did. 21-31, 174 yards and a touchdown. He's not a smart quarterback. He's not. A lot of Niner fans are going to call, and I want to hear from him, Joe, and I'll let you continue here in a second. 26-21, the final. People are going to say, oh, the Niners kept it close, No, the Jaguars kept it close. That should have been a blowout, quite frankly, if they had an IQ of over 150 from their quarterback. Sliding out of bounds? Oh, my God, they try to hand that game away to the Niners. And the Niners handed it right back to them.
Yeah. Yesterday, to me, like, was so evident how far away the roster is. Travis Etienne did a cutback. He did a little cutback, and he's going down the sideline. And Marquise Siegel's up in the box, so he's kind of playing box safety right now. So they've got Jason Pinnock deep as like the single high.
That guy
takes a horrible angle and then just dives at his feet. It's so inexcusable. I don't even know where to begin.
He didn't even touch him, Joe. Like, you at least have to slow him down somewhat. You had the angle.
It looked like me fake missing on my kid running by me. Like, when you go to, like, hey, I'm going to blast you. And then, like, he runs by you and you do, like, the big whiff.
Right.
It was so bad. Look, I wake up this morning and I just zoom out. Let's just zoom out. And I say to myself, I got questions at the quarterback position, just overall in terms of his health, because he clearly wasn't healthy yesterday. But take that to the side. I definitely need running back, left tackle, wide receiver, tight end, D-line, safety, and corner. But other than that, we're good.
You just said D-line. Like, everyone on there.
What?
It's true. Like, we knew that.
Joe, these are their needs.
They lost
running
Nick
back,
Bosa.
Left tackle, wide receiver, tight end, D-line, safety, corner. I've heard nothing about when George Kittle's going to come back. Everyone's like, well, he'll just get activated after this Rams game. You sure about that? Is he running?
I mean,
is he moving? Are we sure?
We talked about it all week last week, and sometimes you just don't have the bodies. And when guys like Trent, guys like Fred, guys like CMC say, yeah, you can't just next man up mentality a guy like Nick Bosa. It takes 4 to 5 guys.
He's right.
What you're saying? It takes 4 to 5 guys to step up. Like 4 to 5 guys did not step up yesterday.
Okawanu, zero.
Mikael Williams, your first round rookie. Again, zero. He's a rookie.
He's like, an inside guy. He's an inside guy. Not an edge guy.
No, but they told us that they're going to try to put him at the edge and it didn't work. And again, he's in his infancy of his NFL career. So I'm going to give him a little leeway, but at the same time, you got to get more creative. And I actually think for the most part, the defense held their own, but there was just bits and pieces. As you mentioned, the ETN run, stuff that was just too much of a gut punch to overcome. I thought they could have given the ball to ETN even more. He only had 19 carries
I agree.
For 124 yards.
He ran for 6+ a carry.
I would have, listen, if I'm Liam Cohen and I saw Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball yesterday, just didn't know what he was doing. Brian Thomas, again, didn't get his feet down when he wanted to. He didn't really do anything. One reception. A couple receptions for 49 yards. But they tried to run like an end around with him. They tried to get creative running the ball, and it was working at times. And it could have been worse, but they just had so many holding penalties. They had 11+ penalties yesterday, the Jaguars. They try to keep him in that game.
I'm going to ask you overall. Christian McCaffrey, he's got one, I believe, 13-yard run. Does he have a double-digit run in the last 2 years outside of that?
Like, go back to last season? Probably not.
Now, I know he's got a couple of screen passes and a couple of, like, yesterday, that little, like, wheel route leak out play. I'm talking about a run. A double-digit yard run. He's got one this year, I believe. One.
I believe they said on the broadcast the Niners are the only team now to not have a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, that's been...
No, but officially yesterday, because whoever was with them on the list had a rushing touchdown yesterday. Oh, my God.
I think prior to the game, they were the only team at zero.
To the game, yeah. That's right.
And so, even after. Oh, I guess not.
Well, because I think he said on broadcast at the 10 a.m., so it doesn't matter. Fact of the matter is they're a run-first offense, and they don't have a rushing touchdown.
Well, and
oh my God.
Let's also call it what it is. You got rid of Jordan Mason for no reason. This is stupid. Like, you just, like, whether he wanted to be his own guy, his own back, whatever, like, it was stupid. It was a stupid personnel decision, and I hate using that word, but what else could it be?
Well, quite frankly.
What else could it be? This guy's good.
What's frustrating, Joe, is even if Jordan Mason was on this team, I don't know how much different it would look in the run game because they don't get holes. They don't do anything right in the run game right now.
But he breaks tackles.
He does.
And he is a violent runner, and right now they do not have a violent in-between-the-tackles runner at all. They look so pedestrian. And if everything's going to be predicated off the run game right now, well, then everything else is going to look more difficult on third down for you for a passing offense that just doesn't have anyone that they trust. Again, the drops were one thing. The ball placement from Purdy was another thing. But nothing looks good right now. What's the best part of the team? Linebacker play?
Yeah, probably. The positions that I feel most confident with right now is the tandem of Fred Warner and D. Winters.
I could make an argument wide receiver play, Pearsall and Jennings, has been a close second. But again, yesterday, how many drops from just all the guys? You know, like Jennings had a drop, even though it's a tough play, it's down low underneath. McCaffrey had multiple drops.
Yeah.
Bourne had multiple drops. You're running Sky Moore out there after he got blasted on a punt return. It's just not good.
It's not.
And I didn't think Purdy was healthy.
No, and that's going to be a major talking point all morning long and all day long right here on 95.7 The Game. You don't want to go anywhere else here on a Monster Monday. First 49ers loss of the season. We're taking all your calls and texts. Let's start off with TC in Sacramento. What's up, TC? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, man, what's up with my bro Joes, man? Both of my Joes. Listen, we're going to jump right into it. Hey, Joe, hey, I feel your frustration. Everybody's starting to see what I'm talking about, man. Listen, check it out. We're going to start with Purdy. Max should have been playing. We don't know if he's 100%. But what we did see is what we talked about from the beginning when people thought you were crazy when you talked about Purdy, right? If he has to stand in the pocket, bro, he doesn't have it. He's Jimmy Garoppolo 2.0, what I said from day one, and everybody thought I was crazy. Only thing he got different is he can scramble just a tad and that anticipation throw. But, oh, no, that gets him in trouble. He throws one or two interceptions a game with that pass, bro. So check it out, dog. Listen, man, Trent Williams, I'm with you, Stasky. Trent Williams, You sticking the team for money. Everybody trying to get their money, bro, but you got to perform, dude. You whipping on blocks. You doing this and that. Listen, man, this team is in trouble. CMC, you don't ever want to come out the game, big dog. Okay, well, then get it explosive. Get an explosive play. Do something different, homie. You don't ever want to come out. Hey, check it out. We sure could use what's the boy in New York? Cam Scatterboo, right? Kyle Shanahan, he was right there for you to grab. Oh, but you didn't want to grab him. You wanted to go trade for the boy Robertson, right, who's a shell of himself. Oh, actually, wait a minute. Let me back up a little bit, Spadoni. We don't even give him touches. Man, I'm done, dog. That's all I got, bro. I'm frustrated right now, but I'm glad to see, and I want to see every Niner fan and hear Niner fans today and see how frustrated they are because everybody's coming around the corner. That's all I got.
That's all he's got. That's TC in Sacramento now. I think it's a little strong to say they're going to be in trouble and they're cooked, they're done. They are 3-1 on the season. Yes, if you lose to the Rams, it's a tough turnaround. Thursday Night Football coming up here at SoFi Stadium, you'd fall to 3-2. Again, you're still over 500. If the season's not over, it's the first loss. We're reacting to it. But it was a humbling experience because it was just a non-buttoned-up performance that we're not used to seeing at home with Brock Purdy, who, again, looked compromised yesterday. We're going to keep coming back to this because this was the biggest fear heading into the game. We knew he wasn't 100% healthy. And again, everyone's always going to throw, oh, no one's 100% healthy. Yeah, but Brock not being 100% healthy and it being a foot problem is different than like a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or these guys that have this upper body strength where they could overcome having a lower extremity injury, Joe. That's why I even said, hey, if Mac Jones is compromised mobility-wise with his knee, I still have more faith in him being a pocket passer than Brock Purdy at times. That might sound insane on the surface, but what Brock does is extend plays better than any other 49ers quarterback in the past, probably since, I don't know, Kaepernick or Jeff Garcia. Like, he has to move around a little bit. Like, that's where he feels comfortable. There's sometimes that's what they need. Like, Russell Wilson was a guy that needed to do this, and he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory. He did it better than anyone else. He had to move around a little bit. He's a little smaller. He's not 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". Some of these taller guys that can look above. Like, he's got to move around a little bit. And the fact that he had to stay around in the pocket and shift around and let guys like Josh Hines-Allen dominate, Eric Armstead dominate. They had that cage kind of defense where they kept them contained. They didn't let him scramble. He had one like kind of 10, 11 yarder, whatever it was. He had one scramble that was solid. But outside of that, he couldn't do anything with his feet, Joe. No. And if he can't do anything with his feet, he's not going to be the same quarterback. Sorry. And he's going to look closer to Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what he looked like yesterday.
I mean, he's 2-6 in his last 8. Right? And look, so let's just start the start of last year, all right? The reality is that when they paid him, it's not just, oh, they paid him. They've had to surrender and say goodbye to good players for a couple of years to be able to afford him for this year and moving forward. Like, that's how you budget long term. Why is Eric Armstead not on this team?
Money.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, and money budgeted to what? The quarterback and other players.
Yes.
Now, it's not just on Brock. The last 2 years, he's played 17 games. He's 7-10.
Brock?
Yes.
Okay.
The last 2 years, he has 24 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. The last 2 years, he has 5 rushing touchdowns and 8 fumbles. So the last 2 years, the team is 7-10 in games he starts,